Good morning to each one of you this morning. It's a privilege and a blessing to be here this morning. I feel the need to pray this morning. Could we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for a reminder again this morning. Father, that summer is now past and fall and winter is upon us. We thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness remains from year to year and from age to age. Father, you fail not and your mercies are new again this morning. We thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient for us this morning and that you're able to minister to each of our needs as you see fit. Father, you know the needs in my heart and you know the needs in all of our hearts sitting here this morning. Lord, it says in your word, in Hebrews it says that all things are open and all things are naked before your eyes. And so we just ask this morning that you would deal with us according to your will and be merciful to us, O God. I ask that you would direct my thoughts. Lord, you know my thoughts are scattered this morning and you know that, Father, my inability at times to speak the things which I have on my heart to bring them forth in a clear way. And I just ask that you would be with us this morning and be with me and help me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart, I had a little bit of a struggle finding a title for it. The title that I think I'll give it this morning, it was a title that came to me as I was pondering this message. A thought came to me, I'm going to title it, The Truth of the Matter. This morning I would like to talk to you a little bit, for a few moments here, about truth. You know, I was sitting here, we're singing this last song, and we're singing, "The strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won, the song of triumph has begun. The powers of death have done their worst." And we go down and we sing, "The three sad days are quickly sped. He rises glorious from the dead." You know, I think all of us this morning sitting here believe with all of our hearts that those words are true. I don't know if you all know, I've thought about it for several years with different things that I've read and heard, and in today's society, they no longer want us to believe, at least a fair amount of people, I would say more my age of people, what they call the millennials, no longer want us to believe that there is such a thing as truth. There's no such thing as being able to nail one thing down and say that this is fact and that this fact remains no matter what comes. But I want to tell you this morning that there is truth that we can walk with. There is truth in the Word of God. There is truth even in mathematics. There is truth in all of life. We can find truth. I found some interesting things, and forgive me, I didn't write the whole thing down on paper, but some staggering things that we find that are going on, and I just want to read these things to get us thinking this morning about truth. So I found something this morning, a fellow writing, I don't know who the fellow is. He's somebody he's a writer, I guess. And he says, "Essentially, we live in the world of my truth, your truth, their truth, it's all truth in the end, and love is the answer. If someone feels something is true or right, then that's the highest parameter we have for deciding it's true or right. That's why we say transgender individuals are actually men and women. They feel they are, so they are. Or why postmodern Christians will emphasize love over truth to basically justify anything which the Bible considers abhorrent. Love in their eyes means trusting people's feeling about what is true or right more than truth or rightness themselves as expressed in the holy books. the Holy Bible. They will rationalize this thus. Clearly, we understood them wrongly, or God was just adapting to the level of understanding of ancient Christians, but we are evolving now. The epitome of arrogancy and pride. And that is what we're facing today. We can say it's in the world, but the staggering fact is that some of those people have sat under the preaching of the Word, and some of those people today are sitting in pews this morning that believe those very things, that you cannot call truth, truth anymore. I was looking last night and this morning through the Word of God and finding truth. What the Bible says is truth. I did not take the time or did not have time to find out how many times the word truth is used in the Bible. It is absolutely staggering. As I was looking it up eSword or iSword, whatever it's called, you can get lists and it gives you pages of wherever it's used in truth. And I scrolled for a long time, getting to the bottom of it, finding where it ends and where it stops and all those things. This morning I would like for a scripture reference to turn to John chapter 8 in verse 32, where we have Jesus speaking to us. Let's start in verse 30. I'll wait till you're all there. I want you to follow along. Jesus is here. He's speaking. He had just come down from the Mount of Olives in the morning. And it says in the verse in chapter 2, I'll just go over there for a little bit of a backdrop of what's happening here. And it says, "And early in the morning, he came again into the temple." So Jesus had just come off of the Mount of Olives in the morning, we're assuming, probably praying. And he comes down to these people here, gathered in the temple. And it was at Jesus also in this same chapter, dealt with the woman caught in adultery. But let's go to verse 30. "And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And here's the verse that we want to get to this morning. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do we believe this morning that the Word of God can make us free? It says, if you are free, then you are free indeed. I think I misquoted that a little bit, but that's the thought there. "And you shall know the truth." This morning, do we know the truth? You know, if we know something, we have a knowledge. There's something that you know is truth. Whether it be, let's just use mathematics. You know, let's just use something real simple. We can say 2 + 2 = 4. That does not change. That never changes. You have that knowledge and you know, and you will never back down. If somebody would try to convince you that 2 + 2 = 5, you look at them and say, "You're ridiculous." You know that that is truth. Your heart says, "This is truth." And you know, the funny thing is, it's almost not funny, but there's people today that are arguing against those facts and saying that that's not true anymore. But you know the truth. And it says, "And that truth that you know," the truth in the Bible that we all know this morning, it says that makes us free. It says that it makes us free. It gives us freedom to walk in truth and the ability to understand and the ability to walk before God in a way that pleases Him. In another familiar verse, I'd like to I'm going to turn over to John 18. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you're welcome to follow along. John 18, right over the time of the trial of Jesus, it says in John 18, starting verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38. This whole thing didn't just start. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? What is truth? Before him was standing the very essence, the very epitome of truth, the Son of God Himself. This morning my thoughts are a little bit scattered. I wasn't quite sure where to take. I felt pretty very clearly that this is the Lord wanted me to share on this. But there was some variation in some of the thoughts that it came to my mind, and so forgive me if some of these things are a little bit confusing. I'll try to keep my thoughts together here. It says truth, one definition of truth is not concealed. It's not concealed. It's open. It's for us all to know. The opposite of that is covering up, pretense. You know, we say the opposite of truth is lie. The Bible, it talks a few times about lie, but it talks mostly about deceit. It says that Jesus is truth in John 14, verse 6. I'd just like to look a few verses here where it talks about truth and the different. We talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I'd like to look at those three. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus said, I am the truth. John 15:26. Just a couple pages over in my Bible. But when the Comforter will come, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Comforter, we have Jesus and we have the Comforter. They all say that they are the truth. One way, they are the way. They are the truth. John 17:7. Sorry. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I had a little bit of this out of order in what I wanted them to be. So it's saying here that God's word that He's given to us is truth. In Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 32:4. Should have marked these down in my Bible. I didn't. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He. A God of truth. Is that a comfort to us this morning? That we serve a God that is a God of truth. In Hebrews it tells us that He cannot lie. There is no lie within God. There is no lie that comes from the mouth of the Father. There is no deceit that comes from God this morning. If you read it in God's Word, it is the truth. And it is nothing but the truth. You know, we have today it seems like truth is is not held up at all. There's so much deceit, and you go around, you wonder, somebody tells you something, you wonder if what they said, if that's even true, or if it's partial truth, or if it's, you know, has any truth in it at all. But this morning, when God says it, when you reread it in God's Word, it is the absolute final authority on truth. This morning, I also want to talk about a little bit of what does truth do to us this morning. You know, truth does hurt us at times. It does. Sometimes we're faced with the reality of a truth that we may read about, that somebody may tell us about ourselves, and it confronts us. It jolts us a little bit. Truth isn't always comfortable right at the beginning. But it always will bring comfort if we allow it to work in our hearts. Second Corinthians 4, verse 2. It says, But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is a verse that doesn't necessarily have truth in it, but I'd like to talk to you about it a little bit this morning. It's in Ephesians 5, verse 13. I'm just going to very briefly go over this. It says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ..." I'm sorry. "Wherefore, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." You know, this morning, that is what truth does to us. Truth confronts us. Truth comes sometimes in the darkest moments of our life, as we're reading, as we're walking along. Sometimes, at times, there just comes a glimmer. There comes a ray of truth gets shown into our hearts as we're walking. And what it does, it reproves. It makes manifest. It brings to light those things in our hearts that we might not see at times. That's what the truth does. The truth works. The truth is not something that remains still. It's not something that sits still. But it's always working. It's always bringing and making manifest. And it's always speaking and spreading its words throughout this world. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning, and I do this with carefulness this morning. I am not saying this to anyone here at all. But something I was thinking about this morning. So we talk about the truth of God. We talk about Jesus Christ being true. We talk about the Holy Spirit being true. We talk about God's Word that we have here this morning on all of our laps. We say it is the truth. It is the absolute truth. We say that the Spirit of God is within us. We say that Jesus Christ is within us. We say that we're born of the Spirit. This morning are my lips and are your lips truthful lips. When we say something, can people know without a doubt that what we just told them is the truth? That there is no deceit in what we said. Can people trust us today? Can people trust us when they see us walking about and doing whatever we're doing? You know, I think I want to look at two verses. I'll just turn there quickly and read them to you. First one is in both in Psalms, actually. Psalm 12, verse 22. I'm sorry, that's not right. Psalm 12. Sorry, I wrote that down wrong, and I am not sure. Let's turn to Psalm 101, verse 7. And I was just convicted this morning, again, how easily it is. You know, we say that there's lies, and we've heard this used, and there's white lies, and then there's terms of, you know, just deceiving, you know, just sharing something with somebody that's not quite the truth. I worked for a fella for a while, and I will say that I have never met anyone like him. He was a tremendous man as far as for an employer. I enjoyed working with him, but he could deceive people like I have never seen anybody do before. And he would never come out with the outright untruth. He would just lead them astray with talking. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I know that at the time for sure had its effect on me too. You know, it wasn't exactly coming out and just saying, you know, it was the untruth. But he had a way of deceiving. In verse 7 of Psalm 101, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Those are some strong words. It says, "He will not dwell within my house, and he will not tarry in my sight." Why wouldn't a God of absolute truth say those things? Why would a holy and a just God not have the right to say those things to us? Why there is God's justice is completely justified in saying this, because He is truth. Quite a few scriptures, and have a couple more things this morning that I'd like to say this to you, and again, just stirring up our sound minds. In Jeremiah 9, verse 5, it says, "And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity." Come back to that, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. This is a very familiar verse. We hear this a lot. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, our hearts deceive us at times. And one way it can deceive us at times is into thinking that we're somebody that we're actually not. And you know, one thing that I want to talk to you, that I want to just say here, it says, "They will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity." You know, that is a wearying thing. And you know one other thing that's wearying? It's wearying to be somebody, to try to be somebody who you are not, if I can say that right. That is a wearying thing. If my life is right before God, if my life is not right before God, let's get it right. But let's walk before other people, before our friends and our neighbors, our brothers and sisters. Let's be honest with them, with who we are. Let's not be somebody that we're not. Let's be honest. Let's be careful with the words that we say, But let's be real. We live in a real world this morning, and we're faced with real challenges. You face challenges. We all face challenges. I face challenges. We are called to be honest, to be upright in all things. Let's be honest and upright in the matter, in the manner of our life. Let's walk in integrity and in honesty before God and before man. You know, I think this morning that is a great stench to God if we walk in a way that we're deceiving people, that we're not being who we really are. I just want to leave you with those thoughts this morning. And I am thankful this morning that God is truth. And in Him is no darkness at all. That's what the Word of God tells us. Thank you.